Thank you, David. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I'm telling you, I love, love, love books like this. This is the all-time book of fascinating facts. And we have Charles Reichblum on the line with us. He's also known as Dr. Knowledge. So from this point forward, we will just call you Dr. Knowledge. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine, Wendy. Nice being with you.
Nice being with you as well. You sound like a character, actually. you kind of do. Not what I expected.
Why,
Dr. Knowledge?
Why the book, Charles? What were you thinking when you put the book together exactly?
How are you, Bill? Well, I've been collecting these things really since I was in high school, which was many, 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 many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was an intern at a radio station in my hometown of Pittsburgh when I was a teenager. And in those days, of course, we had no computers. The news came over teletypes, and there were rolls of paper in the teletype, and the news was typed out there. And my job as an intern was to tear off the sheets of news as they came in, and there were nails up on the wall. You hung news here, sports here, business news here, feature stories here, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, they had me working on July 4th, since I was the youngest one there. I was only about 15 years old. And on July 4th, a feature story came over the teletype that three of the first five U.S. presidents all died on July 4th. And I thought, boy, that's an interesting fact. I never knew that. I don't think I ever learned that in school. And I looked it up later. It certainly is true. The second president, John Adams, died on July 4th, 1826 in Massachusetts. The third president, Thomas Jefferson, died on the very same July 4th, 1826. Jefferson was down in Virginia, obviously unrelated causes of their deaths. And that happened to also be the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776. This was July 4th, 1826. Very odd that they both died on that day.
Yeah.
And then the fifth president, James Monroe, died on July 4th, 1831. You know, what are the odds that three of the first five presidents would all die on the same date?
Hard to imagine.
Related causes. And of all the dates in the year,
it
was July 4th. So anyhow, I wrote that down and put it in my pocket and started my collection of looking for things like that. When I got out of school, I started a company. We had a company for many years called Interesting Facts that we syndicated to newspapers in the U.S. and Canada. And then people over the years said, why don't you put that stuff in books? And my newest book that you mentioned, the All-Time Book of Fascinating Facts, is really a collection of the what I consider the best of all the stuff I've collected over the years. Plus, I spent the last couple of years looking for new things, too.
I love this. And please take this as a compliment. This would be great in a bathroom. Can I just tell you that? Total compliment.
That's all right. That's good.
All right. I was quizzing Bill on a lot of these questions prior to talking to you. And I got to admit, Bill, you were pretty good about things.
I was doing okay.
But I want to ask you this one. How did the Tonys and the Emmys get those names? Do you know that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Tonys were named after a woman named Antoinette Perry, who was a producer on Broadway, and she was called Tony. It was a woman, but she was called Tony from her first name, Antoinette. That was her nickname. And she died right after World War II, when the awards were first given, and they wanted to honor her. She had been president of the theatrical group there and the producer. She was very active in Broadway productions. So they wanted to honor her, and since everybody knew her as Tony,
the Tony Awards.
Called the awards Tonys.
What about the Emmys?
Incidentally,
go ahead.
Let me just get the Grammys for a minute, because there was also almost a person that was named after. The Grammys, of course, the music awards, are named after the gramophone. That's where that name comes from.
All right, he just mouthed that when you said it. Bill just
I
went
knew that,
gramophone. But you don't know the Emmys, do you?
Well, yeah, just
Bill?
A second.
I do not.
We'll get to that in a minute. Let me just tell you one more story about the Grammys. So.
Sure.
The gramophones were a early rendition of the phonographs. It was a type of phonograph in the early days. And those awards were almost called the Eddies after Thomas Edison, who invented the phonograph.
Cool.
And that would have been logical since he invented recorded music. But at the last minute, they decided not to call them the Eddies and went with the derivation of gramophones and called them the Grammys. Now, the Emmys are, of course, the TV awards, and they are named after the tube that made TV possible. It was the image Orthicon tube, which was called an Emmy by early workers in television in the early days. That they called that very key tube an Emmy. And they just felt when they started the awards that Emmy did not look good or sound good, so they changed it. They just evolved it from Emmy to Emmy. And, you know, we have the Oscars coming up Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And people wonder why in the world is the Academy Award statue called an Oscar.
Do you know this, Bill?
Hang on, this is the story I always heard, Charles. Tell me if this is true. Somebody saw one of the first Academy Awards and said, oh, that looks like my Uncle Oscar. Is that the truth?
Yeah, basically true. The executive director of the Academy was a woman named Margaret Herrick. And in the early 1930s, up to that time, the statue was simply called the Academy Award statue or statuette. But the executive director there, Margaret Harry, looked at the statue one day and said, you know, that looks like my Uncle Oscar, who actually was a man named Oscar Pierce, who was a farmer and a real estate salesman in Texas. He had nothing to do with the movies, but it was her uncle. And she jokingly, she had one of the statuettes on her desk, and she, you know, always said, hi, Oscar. She, you know, thought it looked like her uncle. Meantime, the Hollywood press, saw that, overheard that, and they liked the idea of the statue having a name. They were tired of writing every time the Academy Award statue or the Academy Award. They loved it to have a name, so they picked up on her calling it an Oscar, and it's been an Oscar ever since. And the amazing thing about that, Wendy and Bill, is that Oscar Pierce, for whom the most famous movie award is named, had absolutely nothing to do with the movie. As I say, he was a farmer and a real estate salesman, and there are some stories that he really never went to the movies. He was not a movie fan,
and yet
the most famous movie award
is named after him,
yeah.
Charles, here's a two-part question. Number one, are you married? And number two, when you tell your wife these facts, how does she react to them?
I've been married for many years to the same woman, and actually we did a radio show together on KDKA in Pittsburgh.
Oh, wow.
For 10 or more years. We just left that a few years ago, and she was on the show with me, and somebody gave her the name of misinformation, which is kind of funny, and we used to always have to say that's two words, two S's.
Yeah.
We got a call one night from the head of the Allegheny County in Pittsburgh, and he said, you know, there's too much misinformation going around. And we had to say that wasn't my wife. That was that was another kind of misinformation.
I have to tell you, Charles, there's a weird coincidence. I had heard that show before several times and loved it and didn't know it was you until just now. You guys did a great job.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, that's a good station, as is yours. I'm an old student of radio, and certainly WGN is one of the famous stations.
Yeah, we got lucky.
So,
yeah.
All right. My burning question is, there is no ham in hamburgers. Why do we call them hamburgers?
Yeah, how about that? And then next time you have a hamburger, say to the person you're having the hamburger with, hey, there ain't no ham in here. The name came from, we had a big influx of German immigrants in the late 1800s. And people from Hamburg, Germany, the town of Hamburg, Germany, brought with them their custom of ground meat, which was not common in those days. And people here started calling ground meat hamburgers after the town of Hamburg, Germany. That's where it got its name. And as I say, the next time you have a hamburger, say,
yeah,
there is no hamburgers are named after their city of origin, very much like
Frankfurter. Yeah,
you two should go have lunch. Can I just tell you this?
I'm up for that.
And you know, excuse me, Charles Reich Bloom, aka Dr. Knowledge. Bill was like, "Are you married? And what does your wife think?" His wife would deal with the same stuff.
Oh, all the time.
You
she knows.
Two really should go talk to each other over lunch, over a hamburger.
Yeah, very good.
All right, I'm
very
in.
Good.
All right, what about hot dogs? Why are hot dogs called hot dogs?
Well, that's a great story too, and it also happens to be in our book. That name did not exist until the early 1900s, and it, of all places, originated at a baseball game in New York. It was early in the season. It was a cool day, and the concessionaire, a guy named Harry Stevens, who was a very famous baseball concessionaire. He was a concessionaire at a lot of ballparks around the country. Anyhow, he was realizing that the only kind of food they had at ballparks in those days, this is the early 1900s, was they didn't have any hot food or any warm food. All they had were peanuts and other cold food. And he realized that he wasn't going to sell much that day because it was a very cool day. And he said, if I can get something warm to sell, that should do very well. So he took a walk around the neighborhood, went to a butcher shop, and asked the butcher, do you have anything hot or warm I could sell? And the butcher had some sausages grilling on the grill. He said, here, why don't you take these sausages? You can sell those. They're nice and hot. And Harry Stevens said, well, I'll take them, but how are the people going to hold them? And the butcher said, well, next door is a bakery. Why don't you get some buns there? So he went to the bakery, got some buns, took the buns and the sausages back to the ballpark, gave them to the vendors, and they're walking around holding up the sausage in the bun. Meantime, there was a very famous cartoonist at the game that day, and in those days, many newspapers had cartoons on their front pages. That was a big thing. A cartoonist there, his name was Tad Dorgan, saw the vendors walking around with the bun, with the sausage in a bun, and the sausage reminded him of a dachshund. So he drew a dachshund in a bun with the vendor and was going to title the cartoon Hot Dachshund. But he was on a deadline, and at the last minute he realized, I'm not sure how you spell dachshund. So he very quickly and easily changed dachshund to dog and made it Hot Dog, and the name was born. And that story is absolutely true because the original cartoon, which named the hot dog, is in the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. You can see his original cartoon, which gave us the name Hot Dogs.
That's so cool.
We are talking to Charles Reichblum. He is Dr. Knowledge. His new book is The All-Time Book of Fascinating Facts, available wherever better books are sold. We'll continue this conversation in just a little bit. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. We're talking to the author of the book, The All-Time Book of Fascinating Facts. Charles Reichblum is his given name, but he goes by Dr. Knowledge. You sound like a bad guy from Superman. Dr. Knowledge. I love that.
By the way, Bill and Wendy, if I could just get in. Sure. We have a website called knowledgeinanutshell.com, and folks can see the book there, and if they want to get it there, they can. That's the easy way to buy it. And there's also a discount if you take more than one, if you want to give some as gifts. But anyhow, the website is knowledgeinanutshell.com. The name of the book is The All-Time Book of Fascinating Facts.
Beautiful.
All right. These are all over the board, so I just don't know where to go. There's a lot of baseball things. Is there a spider hidden on a $1 bill? Obviously,
yeah,
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. Take a look in the upper right-hand corner. You really got to have a magnifying glass, and some people say a good imagination, but it looks like there is a spider there. The mint won't say yes or no. The theory is that the author or the originator, the original artist, put it there. One fact about the $1 bill, by the way, that we have, there are 16 mentions of the number one on a $1 bill. It's amazing. Both the figure, count both the figure and the word spelled out, either O-N-E or the figure one. There's 16 of them. If you you can win a bet on that someday, there are that many on a $1 bill. You can go ahead and
sometimes count more, Charles, if the serial number has ones in it, you get even more.
Serial
number. Yeah, that's a good point. One other little money fact on our coins, everybody calls a penny a penny, right? We don't call it a 1 cent piece. And everybody calls a nickel, and we don't say it's a 5 cent piece. And yet on the coin, it doesn't say penny or nickel. It says 1 cent or 5 cents.
Ah.
Meantime, however, everybody calls a 10 cent piece a dime, and that word is on the dime, oddly enough. It does say one dime. So they use dime on the dime, but not nickel and penny on the. So I checked with the mint. I got a hold of somebody there. And the guy says, I don't know why that is. It's always been that way. I said, well, you're going to change it? Why don't you call it one penny, one nickel? And he said, well, no, it's just tradition to, you know, keep it the way it is, so I don't think they're going to change it.
Charles, along those same lines, in royalty, you've got a king and a queen, and their son would be a prince, but in a deck of cards, he's not called a prince, he's called a jack. Any idea why that would be?
Gee, no, that's an interesting question. That one I don't.
Well, we'll
don't
go over that at lunch, and Wendy's not invited.
I don't.
You can't come to lunch with us.
I wouldn't get a word in edgewise with the two of you.
One thing about kings and queens is interesting. They go by their first names, right?
Yes.
It's Queen Elizabeth, King Charles,
yeah.
King
Vitaman,
and so on and so on. And isn't that strange? I mean, that would be like calling our presidents President Donald, President Barack, President George.
We use last you know, names.
Yeah, yeah. Why do they just use first names? Which is and they all do. You know, all royalty uses just their first name.
Maybe it's because with kings and queens, they tend to have the same name used over and over and over again. It's family lineage. Do you think that could be part of it?
Yeah, that's part of it. And also in the old days, people did not have last names, and they just went by their first names in the very early days of kings and queens. So that's where that started, and it's just continued all these years. But you'd think these days they would use their last name, but
no,
we don't. It's kind of funny when you think you have to honor, you know, how you can't touch them, you can't, you know, and yet they go by their first names.
Yeah, so true.
Last names.
The all-time book of fascinating facts is what we're talking about, written by Charles Reichblum, also known as Dr. Knowledge. Where's the best place to get this book? I know your website also, knowledgeinanutshell.com.
Right, knowledgeinanutshell.com is the easiest because you can see the book there and read about it and order it if you like. There's an order form. Or you can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble's, Walmart's websites. Some stores have it, some don't. If the stores don't have it, they'll certainly order it for you. But as I say, and we also have an 800 number, by the way, 1-800-NUTSHELL. But really the easiest thing is just to go to knowledgeinanutshell.com.
We have 1 minute, so I want to ask Bill this question to see if he knows the answer, because honestly, I've been going through the questions in this book with him, Charles, and Bill, you're surprising
me. I've done okay, yeah.
All right, what's the story of why popsicles are called popsicles? Do you know this?
I do not know this.
Oh, finally. Will you explain this in a minute or less, Dr.
Yeah,
Knowledge?
I'll try to get the story in quickly. There was a guy named Frank Epperson who invented popsicles, and he called them Epsicles. This is the early 1920s. They did not sell very well. He had a couple kids who sort of laughed. He was trying to sell these things. They weren't selling much. And the kids called them Pops-sicles
after
their father.
Sickles.
Yeah.
And he liked that. He changed the name, and history was made. This is like 1923. He changed the name to Popsicles, and they took off from there, and the rest is
history.
Place.
Yep. Well, I can't wait to meet you at some point and have lunch with you, and Wendy cannot come. It's just me and you. That's how it is, Charles. I'm sorry. Good luck with the book. I'll go on.
Thank you so much. And I know the good thing about the book is I think all ages sort of enjoy it.
It's something for everybody.
It's really great.
The all-time book of fascinating facts by Dr. Knowledge himself, Charles Reichblum. Charles, have a great weekend. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, and great being with you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. KnowledgeInANutshell.com.
Yes.
You honestly have known everything. I'm shocked you didn't know the popsicle story.
I might have known it. I just wanted to hear his version.
You didn't know it. There's no way. All right. We are going to hop on the stream from noon to 1. That's what we do, and we're going to do it again, and it's Friday, so gosh knows what might happen. But coming up on 720, the stories that matter with David Jennings from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.